Let's get in the Word here and pray. Father, I ask you to put me on as your microphone today. I ask you, Jesus, that you open our spiritual ears this morning, that we would hear the living Word of God, that you would minister to us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, what we've got, damaged merchandise. I'll be using this table here in a little bit. Some of the items on it are defective or damaged or discounted. You know, let me give you a premise. I grew up on a horse farm. When my parents got divorced, I had to go live with my grandparents. Good people. Good people. And all that being said, they were into horses. I thought that would be fun. I found out it was a lot like work. And some of these horses were race horses, and they were very temperamental. And one of the horses had injured another one of the horses. He reared back and kicked it. And it created a huge gash in the inside of the leg of the other horse. And one of the things we did was we would treat it with ointment, and we would do everything we could do to heal it. But what the vets had us do is, as that wound began to close over, he would have us separate it and keep it open. And he said, because if you close the wound too soon, there'll still be some stuff that needs to heal inside, and it will get infected. And the idea was, you heal from the inside out. You know, I had to use that principle recently. I was helping somebody move recently. Pastoring, the job description for pastoring is quite crazy. You don't know what you're going to do sometimes on any given day, some of the things we get ourselves into. And we were helping a senior citizen move who was kind of in a distressed situation, and I ended up dropping a desk on my foot and just gashed my foot. I mean, it was nasty. It was big. It was ugly. It was deep. And it hurt a lot. So if you said, well, I don't like how Pastor Matt was acting. Well, I was hurting. No. I treated it, and for several weeks, it kept on bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And we would just put a Band-Aid over it and to try to, you know, contain it. And one day I realized, you know what? When we had our horses, when they had an open, so we would put an ointment, a salve on it. And we happened to have some salve in our medicine cabinet. And we took that salve out and began to start treating my foot. And you know what? Just boom. It just turned around like that with this healing salve that we had. And I was reminded even this morning that, you know what? Each one of us, and this is kind of the premise to our message today, each one of us is going to go through life, but every now and then you're not doing anything wrong and somebody just kicks you. Life just kicks you. Something happens, and it'll leave you with a little bit of an injury. And it's so important we learn to heal from the inside out. And sometimes we need the salve, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to be there to help us heal from the inside out. So that being said, I give you today damaged merchandise. I don't know if you, and everybody has different opinions here. Some people would feel like some of these products on my table would be absolute no-nos and only for the garbage bin. Other people would think these items on my table here are absolutely wonderful bargains. But the items on my table are ding and dent or outdated items, and they would be discounted at the grocery store. For instance, this can of Las Palmas enchilada sauce is ripped and slightly dented. And so if this can was at a grocery store, and you had this can, and you had 10 other cans beside it that were not ripped or dented, my guess is you would not pick this can, right? Is there anybody here besides me? And I don't go grocery shopping very often. As a matter of fact, never if possible. But when I do, if I ever do have to go to the store, and once again, I tell you people this, they don't believe me, but if you see me shopping at a store, you'll say, well, I have a glazed look on my face. That is not my comfort zone. If you see me at Walmart, just know I am having an allergic reaction to Walmart. I've heard people say before, well, I tried to talk to Pastor Matt in the store, and he wasn't very friendly. I'm scared. I can't find anything. I'm doing all I can to keep my salvation. And then you look, you make eye contact with somebody who might be able to help you, and they run the other way. I'm mad. Amen. And then God forbid, you can't find the high price of it. So I don't like going to stores. And then you try to shop for clothes, that type of thing. That's miserable. So, yeah, if you see me in a store, just know I'm mad. Leave me alone. I'm joking a little bit, but I'm not myself. So what grocery stores have learned to do is take a can like this. It's slightly dented. And a lot of times they'll have a section of clearance merchandise that you could buy. If this can was normally $1.49, you could buy it for what, 39 cents, 49 cents? You could buy it much cheaper than you could. So I've got here a dented can of enchilada sauce. Here's a nice dented can, a little bit of rust on it, a little rust on it. Cannellini beans. Jim, is this related to you? Did your dad invent these? No, okay, I didn't know. I've got here some bread. What's this up? What is up with people? Going to a grocery store, taking a lid off of ice cream and licking it. What is up with people? I'll tell you what, man. What a waste of good ice cream, man. So you have this bread here. It's all squished. And if you see a loaf of bread squished, I mean, now, if it's my house, one of the reasons I don't do the shopping is no matter how careful I am with the bread, by the time it gets to the home, it always looks like this. Are there any other men here that can say amen? I don't understand the concept. I put the bread in last on the stuff. I put it on the top of my bag. I candle it, you know, very lovingly and carefully. I say, I love you, bread. I rock it like a baby. I put it in my car like almost like placing an offering at the altar. And I get home and why you smash the bread, you big oaf? But when you have a bread that's, you know, been handled roughly, you're not going to pay full price for this. How much a loaf of bread these days? $1 something? $1.79? This, the price is right. Higher, lower? Come on, call it out. No. Higher. Okay. But this bread will be either donated to charity, it will be given for feed for animals, or in some counties in Indiana, they have what's called ding and dent stores or day-old bread stores where you can go and the whole store has nothing but bread like this and it has cans that are dinged and dented. And in northern Indiana, we had such a store. It was called the Ding and Dent, and it was my wife's favorite store. It was, you just never knew what you were going to get when you went in there. And Andrea would just buy stuff, and a lot of times the cans didn't have labels. And so you'd have to guess. And we had some ladies in our church who just loved this, and they could shake the can, and they could tell you what was in it just by the shake. They had gotten so good at ding and dent shopping. Praise God. Anything for a value. Amen? Well, I remember one time, I'll just tell you a funny story. One time, the ding and dent had these cases of beans, and it was an entire case of beans for $1, like 24 cans for $1. Well, my wife is a bargain hunter. Now, garbanzo, has anybody ever had garbanzo beans before? Some of you. Okay, thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs down, right? All right. We ended up with 5 cases, 120 cans of garbanzo beans in our 2-bedroom trailer. So what did you do with them? We admired them from afar. We moved 2 or 3 times. We switched to a 3-bedroom trailer. Then we moved to her parents' house. Then we moved into a house we built. Then we moved to Fisher's. I think it was 2 years ago. I had to do the moving. And you know, when you're moving and loading up a loading truck and you're already kind of like, you know, I got to lift the couch, I got to lift all these boxes. And then the last thing you want to lift is 5 cases of garbanzo beans that we have no intention of eating. But I done tried to throw them away. It's like, no, don't you throw it away. Now, she can throw away my old hats and my old underwear, but I can't throw away her garbanzo beans. Come on, men. You know what I'm talking about. I'm having fun with my wife today. Hallelujah. We've been married 25 years. She's got me halfway trained. She's not about to ditch me now. I got some spaghetti sauce up here. Has anybody ever had spaghetti sauce in a bag before? Is it as weird as it feels right now in my hand? This just feels unholy. This expired about 4 months ago. I'm not sure it should have ever been on the shelf to begin with. This rice here, I was examining the rice. I had Megan set the table up for me. And I was examining the rice to see what was wrong with this, why it was on the table. And I couldn't find a date on it or anything. But then as I began to hold it, I began to realize it's covered in nasty, sticky substance. Yuck. Yeah. Nasty. If you go to put that in your grocery cart, you're going to put that back and be like, ew, gosh. And we have, you know, just some nice, good, thins, white cheddar potatoes. These are all beat up. Yeah, you don't want those. Okay. Here's our point today as we go to the grocery store. Bread, cans, or the last thing I didn't pull up, aging meat. Has anybody ever seen meat and you know, when it starts to get marked down toward its expiration date? And then once it's, what do they do as it starts to get like 2 days before, they discount it heavily. So you can go out and buy a nice, you know, $10 steak for $4 or what, however it works. Or pork chops that would have been $9.99 are now $3.99. Well, as they approach the expiration date, society deems they are less valuable. Here we have damaged merchandise. I want to talk to you about cars for a minute, too. Many of you, I guess it's been a while since I've told any stories, but some of you may not know that when I had to be bivocational, I had to have two jobs outside the church. One of my jobs was I sold cars for a living. I first started selling Toyotas on the east side at O'Brien's, and then I would end up at a place called CarMax on the north side, and I'm still a huge advocate of both Toyota and CarMax. Had relatively great experience there, but I learned a lot about the car business, distressed merchandise. I was selling cars in 2003, and the very worst car to be on our lot was a 2003 Toyota Sienna. That was the minivan. And Honda was our biggest competitor. And Honda had the first luxury soccer mom minivan that just took everyone by storm. They were the first ones to invent the rear seats that fold down into the flat position so you could put stuff back there, because we got to have stuff. So Honda was the number one selling minivan, bar none. Toyota's minivan stunk. The only thing Toyota could tout was its high-quality engine, which is true. It was a high-quality engine, but the soccer moms aren't buying high-quality engines. They want to know how many cup holders does it have and can get all my junk in there. Amen. And so 2004, Toyota was launching a brand new redesigned Toyota Sienna that would come in four different trim levels. It would be available in all-wheel drive. It would get 27 miles to the gallon, which was much higher than the normal minivan back then. And it was even better than the Honda Odyssey. And when I was selling those 2004s, you could only buy them at sticker price or above. There was no negotiation. People said, well, what's your best deal? The best deal is we're going to let you have it. And buddy, I remember a couple of those paychecks. It was good. If we delivered one, it was a good paycheck. If you delivered two, you were going to go out to eat for steak that night. But the problem became the 2003 Toyota Siennas, nobody wanted. Why? Because they knew that's not real cool. The new and improved one's coming, and it's not that much more than this one. Why would I buy that one? And so what we had to do, they started giving the manufacturer rebates, and they started giving all the enticements. Well, we had to cut and cut and cut, and cut that price so low that even I could have bought it. Then sometimes, if you have a convertible right now, or a sports car, if you had, I don't know, if you had like a Mustang or a Camaro, a rear-wheel drive sports car, and you take that in on trade right now, you would get less for it right now than you would have going into springtime. Why? Because nobody wants a rear-wheel drive convertible going into winter. But if you have a four-wheel drive right now, there's a premium on your car, okay? So seasons make a difference. Sometimes cars got hit. Many of you have had little fender benders, and some of you have even testified God saved you out of a terrible accident. What I would tell you is there are times when a car gets hit, they'll fix it. But if the frame of that car gets bent, the frame is the steel that holds that whole car together, that's the platform in which the car is built upon. If that steel gets bent in an accident, they have machines that can re-straighten that steel. But the problem is, once that steel has been moved and moved back, it will never be as strong as it was intended to be. Just like if you bend metal and bend it back, it's never the same. And same way with the frame of your car. If it's had frame damage, it can be bent back, but it will never be as strong as it was originally intended. So sometimes on the car lot, you have cars that are out of season, end of the line. You have cars that have frame damage. You have cars that are demos, cars that have miles on them, new cars with miles. And you also have Canadian vehicles. Anybody ever heard of a Canadian vehicle? Okay. Canadian vehicles are a ripoff. All right. Many people have said, oh, I got a deal and it was just so good to be true. Well, you might have bought a Canadian vehicle. If you open up the inside of your car and there's a maple leaf, welcome to Canada, hey? And you bought a Canadian. What's wrong with a Canadian vehicle? Nothing, except for it was not built to U.S. standards, number one. And number two, because of the exchange rate, they were able to make money on the exchange rate. They cost a little bit less in Canada because, quite frankly, taxes and EPA and all that kind of good stuff. So there's a lot of exporters who will go to Canada, buy brand new vehicles, bring them down here, and sell them off as American vehicles. You don't know it. You're buying a Canadian vehicle. And when you go to trade it in, you're going to find out it's worth about $5,000 less. And that's always a pleasant conversation to have. Mr. Jones, here's the trade-in offer. Well, did you know your vehicle was Canadian? No, I didn't know it was Canadian. Well, your vehicle's Canadian, eh? Now, I'm setting this up. I'm taking some time here. But what a car dealer does when the vehicle is discounted, or when the vehicle is damaged or has miles on it, they simply discount the price. They re-merchandise it. If it's got scratches, they try to paint over it. But they'll do special merchandise. People tell me sometimes, oh, I bought the car right off the showroom floor. I got such a good deal. Well, when a vehicle is in the showroom floor, that means it needs to be, it's not damaged, but it's distressed. They only put the vehicles on the showroom floor they're trying to get rid of the most. They either have the most profit or the least profit. Just FYI. All right. We'll do a car buying seminar some other time. I always have people say, oh, Pastor, man, I got a great deal on my car. I said, I'm sure you did. Bottom line, the dealer will discount the price. They'll do special merchandising and promotions. They'll ship it to another dealer, or they'll send it to auction. But if it's not perfect, it's discounted or discarded. And although we're talking about cars, this really has a lot to do with human beings. Because there's a lot of people out there who feel like those cars, who feel like that bag of rice, who feel like a can, who feel like something that's rapidly approaching the expiration date. And you feel that because your life has been beat up, you feel that because maybe you've made some mistakes in life, you feel that because some bad, terrible things have happened to you, you feel, you know what, maybe I'm not as valuable. Maybe society doesn't see me as valuable. Maybe you're here today and you're rapidly approaching your expiration date. Now, I hope that doesn't describe anybody, but sometimes we feel that way, don't we? And you say, well, man, is there any purpose for me in my old age? Yes. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm all dinged up. I've been through a divorce. I heard God hates divorced people. That's not true at all. God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate divorced people. You're not a second-class Christian. There's no such thing as a second-class Christian. There's either born again or not born again. And when you're born again, how many of y'all know you are born again? No one wants to have an accident when you're driving a car. There's never a good time to have a car wreck. It's never convenient to have a car wreck. It's never going to just be a great day when you have a car wreck. It can be costly. There can be physical harm. You're going to have, maybe some people are afraid to drive after it for a little while. But it's going to take time to deal with all the drama that was created because there was a car wreck. Nobody wants one. And there are a lot of people you come into contact with through the normal course of life, and sometimes to no fault of their own, they had a car wreck. They had a wreck in their life. They had some type of damage done to them. Maybe in their childhood there was abuse or extreme circumstances of hardship. Maybe a feeling of falling short of your expectations for your life. Maybe bad decisions, maybe addictions. I don't know what it is, but for many, they feel like they're going through life and they are damaged. In the car business, we merchandise it, we mark it down. Some people try to re-merchandise their life with a midlife crisis. Well, praise God, I don't feel like I've accomplished all my, I'm just going to get me a new car, get me a new house, get me a new wife, and I'll be good to go. The problem is, wherever you go, there you are. Some people tried to, you know, in Alabama, it's legal. So when meat has hit the expiration date, it's legal in Alabama to repackage the meat, add tomato juice to it, and make it look fresh and repackage it and try to sell it again. Thank God we don't live in Alabama. But there are people trying to do the same thing. What's it called? Botox. You trying to remarket yourself. You try oil of Olay honey, and you try to hide all them scratches and all them dents and try to, my skin's going to look brand new. People going out getting tucks, lifts, injections. Why? Because they're trying to hide the fact that they're aging merchandise. Listen, it is the glory of God to grow old in the kingdom of God. It is the glory of God to have some gray hair. It is the glory of God that he's trusted you with the amount of days, and now you've got some wisdom. Go out and do something, praise God. Amen. But we try to re-merchandise ourselves. We try to rebrand ourselves. Sometimes we hide behind a paint job of materialism. Well, if I get enough stuff, if I can get that new car, if I can get that new house, if I can get this, it'll make me happy. It ain't going to make you happy. I've lived long enough now to know the stuff that you wanted so bad in your 20s, you could care less for in your 40s. Amen. The stuff I thought was so cool to get, finally, now I'm thinking, dear Lord, one more engine I got to change the oil out of. Oh, man. Dear Lord, one more thing I need to clean. Hallelujah. Maintenance is fun. I wrote Zach a letter saying, and I titled something about being a dad life. I said, yeah, today I got to do a bunch of chores, and for every one chore you do, you see four more you need to do. Some people try to soothe the pain with addiction. I don't know. But I know this, we don't want anybody to know that we're damaged goods. Some people are good at hiding it. You know, if there's a good body shop, they can take an accident in your car and make it look like it never happened. And only a well-trained eye can see. Only somebody who knows the business can see that vehicle's been in an accident. But most everybody thinks it's okay. You know what? We might be able to hide it from all of our friends. We might be able to hide it from everybody else, but God knows. There are people that are very so good at hiding it to show everybody they're perfect, yet they're carrying a great weight that nobody knows about. Other times, there's even people who have thoughts of suicide. There are people who feel so let down by life. I want you to be very serious with me here for a second. There are people who outwardly, they look great, But inwardly, they're carrying so much hurt. They're carrying so much weight. You know, even we're going to talk about this some more next month. But even I'm seeing pastors kill themselves. I'm seeing people who seem to have all the money. They seem to have everything they need in life, and they're killing themselves. Why? Because they're carrying all this stuff. They see themselves as damaged merchandise, and they don't understand that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And I want to talk to you today. I don't know who you are or what you're going through, but I know this. There's not a single one of us that's going to get through this life unscathed. There are others who aren't so good at hiding it. Everybody can tell, oh, that person has problems. Boy, they sure do wear their emotions on their sleeve. They're quick to react, and everybody can see damaged merchandise. You know, it's like that bag of rice. I didn't know this was damaged merchandise when I picked it up. But once I got close to it, I could tell, yeah, there's something wrong with it. But just by looking at it, it looked fine to me. But there's other things, yeah, you're not buying this loaf. Unless you're Charlie Brown. The Bible deals with damaged merchandise. One of my favorite scriptures, Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. It says, a bruised reed, talking about Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. A bruised reed. A reed was very simply a piece of, like, can I have my picture on my slide? There you go. They would be down by the water, and they were plants that would be kind of long, and they would be very tough, yet very flexible and very durable. And in this culture, it was a daily tool. It was a daily tool. And they could use it as a pen, and you would dip one end of it in ink and use it to write with. You could use it as a kitchen tool. I'm sure the mamas used it as a whooping tool, you know. You could tie a bunch of them together. They would float, and you could make a boat out of it. But every person in this culture when the Bible was written knew exactly what a reed was. And they were so abundant, there was no cost or little cost to them. It's kind of like how we treat salt. You don't ever measure out how many crystals of salt you're using to put on your food. Like one, two, no. You just shake the thing. Why? Because it's cheap. We don't care. And these reeds were so abundant, they were just cheap. People didn't really care. And so as soon as one stopped working effectively, maybe it would be bruised. It would start to wear. Instead of trying to keep using it, the culture was they would snap it. Just so they say, okay, we're done with this one. We're not going to pick this one back up. Snap it, throw it away. It's that simple. You use it up, it's cheap, it's expendable. There's no reason to spend a lot of time trying to use this thing if it's broken. Jesus, he's not concerned about a reed. He's concerned about you and me. He says, when somebody is bruised, when somebody's been through it, when maybe somebody's not working as good as they used to work. Maybe they're not what they used to. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they've been through it. Maybe everybody else would throw them away. I'm reminded of my pastor's wife, Debbie Lowe. Great woman of God. They had a testimony that when they met, her and her husband, she was a topless dancer and he was a client. That's how they met, and 2 weeks later they got married. What could go wrong? And as they pursued their marriage, it completely fell apart, of course. And every kind of evil, they hit each other, they were mean to one another. There was all sorts of nasty stuff going on. And then they found Jesus. And right before they were going to sign the divorce paperwork, they decided, let's go to church, let's give God a chance to fix this. And even today, they're teaching a marriage conference in the Ukraine, right? Well, they're 5 hours, 7 hours ahead of us. But this morning in church, they taught a marriage conference to a church over in the Ukraine. But you know, when they got saved, they tried to join a church. And I said, we want to join this church so we can learn the word and get ourselves right with God. And the church said, well, we're going to have a special vote. And they called a meeting of the church. And you know what? They said, because of your past, you cannot join this church. What happened to the blood of Jesus? What happened to whom the Son sets free is free indeed? What happened to old things that passed away? Behold, we are a new creation. And I want you to know today, I don't know what you've been through, but if you've been bruised and you feel like society has thrown you away, you may even feel like religion has thrown you away, but I want you to know Jesus will never, never, never throw you away. And he will never, never, never discount your life. It's that simple. A bruised reed, he will not break. The second thing I want to tell you about that scripture is it says a smoking flax, he will not quench. And we have some oil lamps up here. And this is not quite what an Israeli oil lamp would have looked like. This is our modern version. But theirs would have been a completely different shape, but the same principle. You take a wick, you dip it down in the oil. This was full of oil. The wick absorbs the oil, and then you light it, and then the oil burns off of the wick, and that you have light. That's how it works. And what happens is, if this oil runs out while the wick is lit, while it's burning, the wick will use up all the excess oil that was in it, and then the wick itself will begin to burn. And when it does that, it begins to emit smoke. It's a very smoky, not a clean burn at all. It's not very. As a matter of fact, this is a candle that's in my office, and this is why you can't let me have nice things. But I lit it. I don't know what happened, but. Bottom line, it's all black. And all somehow, one way, shape, or form, my office got full of smoke. I'm going to blame the wick. Yankee candle. Cheap. But here, when the wick dries, the room fills with smoke. Wicks in this culture were once again very cheap. And very expendable. And because they used oil lamps for, you know, how we just flip on a switch, they didn't have switches to flip, so this was their light. So it was a common occurrence for a wick to, if they forgot about it, you know, they fell asleep, whatever would have happened, it would fill the room with smoke. The common practice was you just take out the wick, throw it away, and put a new one down in there. Because once it dries out, it's a process to get it back. And you know what the Bible says about Jesus? It says he would never quench or put out a smoking flax. You can save this wick. It's real simple. You have to fill it back with oil. You have to let it have time to soak. You have to give it time to replenish itself. And then when you light it again, you're going to have to deal with some of the smoke for a little while. But if you stay with it, it will become usable again. Jesus does not throw away a smoking wick. I have some funny stories I could tell you about that, but I think we've got the point. I remember, by the way, if you're in your 20s today, I was sharing with somebody today, I'm watching God come on our 20-somethings and 30-somethings. It's really neat to watch. They're getting excited for God. They're taking positions of leadership. They're stepping up. I'm telling you, there is a great future for this church and the church in the United States. Amen. We preached a message about it not too long ago, but don't believe all the garbage you hear about millennials. Yeah, there's some tree huggers out there that are a little weird and believe some things they shouldn't believe, but I'm going to tell you, these folks are going to be okay. But when I was 20-something, when I was a young 20-something, man, I will tell you, I could not fathom that we were going to potentially have issues in life. I thought, man, you pray it, and 5 minutes later, you're going to see it, and that's it. I thought, man, all this other stuff is going to be easy. Pastoring a church, easy. Just get up there and preach every Sunday. I thought, life's going to be just, but how many of y'all know you get past your 20s, you learn, life can knock you down a little bit, can't it? We've ever let that oil get too dry. You ever been there? Trying to burn with no oil? You mamas know what that's like. You haven't had sleep in 6 days and your baby wants to stay up all night? Your baby doesn't care about you. You ever realize, just settle it. Your baby doesn't care about you. They don't. Just a little point of wisdom. If you have a bad marriage, I've seen this happen so many times. Well, if we have children, it will bring our marriage together. No, it won't. The worst thing you could do if your marriage is not where it needs to be is bring a child into it. It won't hit. Now, it may give you a distraction from how bad your marriage is, but it will not fix your marriage. If you've gotten through this life and you've tried to burn with no oil, and that, you know, when the smoke comes in, you ever been in a smoky room? It dims the light, hard to breathe, not a pleasant environment. And the way our life is before God, the light's not as bright as it should be. It's not the pleasant environment that God would have. But where society, even religion, would take your life, where society and where religion would say, we're throwing you away. You're not valuable. You're too old. You're too broken. Your past is this. You did this. You're the wrong gen. You're a woman. You can't be used by God. You're low income. You don't have an education. Society looks to put people down. Religion looks to put people down so it can feel good about oneself. Jesus will pay the price in your life to take the dryness, to take the smoke, to take the issue, to take the drama, and he will take the time and the love and the care and the nourishment and the help and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he will cause those things to work together for you. And he is a God of restoration. He's a God of hope. He's a God of healing. You are not too far gone where God cannot bring you back and fill your lamp with oil. God has a plan for your life. He's called you to be great in the kingdom of God. He's called you for such a time as this. You are the love of his life, the apple of his eye. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the plans that he has for you to give you a future and a hope. If God is for you, who can be against you? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Every one of us needs to hear this from time to time, because we have a tendency to walk with our head down because religion wants to beat you down. Religion wants to tell you about your failures. Religion wants to tell you all the stuff you done messed up on. The young people will get this. You done messed up, A.A. Ron. If you don't get that, it's because you're not young. That's what religion focuses on. You done messed up. Jesus knew that. He knew your mess ups. He knew your failures. He knew the midlife crisis. He knew the problems in your marriage. He knew the financial issues. He knew what side of the tracks you'd be born on. And he chose, like we sang about today, at the old rugged cross. He chose to go up there knowing your weakness, knowing your issue, knowing your sin, knowing your past. He went up there anyway and said, I exchange my holiness for your sin. I exchange my completion for your incompletion. I exchange my healing for your problems. Oh my goodness. A smoking wick, he will not put out. He'll pour that oil in, and he'll be patient. Have you ever dealt? You know one of the things about pastoring? They didn't teach us this in Bible college. They taught us how to preach a sermon, which is what I do 10% of the time, if that. But they didn't teach us that new Christians have a lot of issues. And damaged Christians have a lot of issues. And if we're going to be a real pastor, we have to be like the Spirit of Jesus. And say, I'm not looking to make you perfect. I'm not looking to give you an appearance of being something you're not. I'm here to nurse you with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And if there's some smoke in the room, if there's some stuff we got to deal with, there's some Pharisees, do you know what man or woman that is you're dealing with, Jesus? Yes. Yes, I do. You know, at times I've had people tell me, well, I won't go to church there because so-and-so goes there. Well, good. Yeah, so-and-so's got issues, sure. But guess what I'm doing? Guess what this church is doing? Guess what Jesus is doing? He's bottle feeding them out of the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we got to deal with a little bit of the smoke. But isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? This is why I have to start skipping stuff. And my kids learn how to count to 100. 1, 2, skip a few, 100. Luke chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And the world system, damaged goods are of less value or no value, but in God's system, they are of equal value. Psalms 23, verse 3. That shepherd, he restores my soul. When Jesus came to seek and save, that word save is one of my favorite words in the whole vocabulary of the Bible. It's the Greek word sozo. It means to save, to heal, to deliver, to preserve, protect, rescue, and make whole. When Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross, it wasn't to beat you up with it. It was that he would take your beating for you. For those of you, I'm not going to teach this for the sake of time, but if this is really hitting home today, there's a scripture in your bulletin, Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, talks about the restoration of God. The restoration of God. There's some of you, you've been stolen from. You've believed a lie of religion. There's some of you, you've been deeply hurt. Some of you have given up 20 years of your life because of the hurt you went through or because of the things that happened to you. I want you to study that scripture. It's about the Lord restoring unto us those years and those things. God could take a prostitute named Rahab, a prostitute, somebody who definitely the church, you know, the religious church would not approve of. And God can take a prostitute and turn her into one of the great, great, great grandmothers of Jesus Christ himself. God can take a disciple who fell asleep when he wasn't supposed to be falling asleep, who had a gift of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. A disciple who could still cuss when he needed to. A disciple who could deny Jesus when he needed him most. A disciple who would Jesus would look at one time and said, "You're acting like Satan right now." And Jesus could take him and use him to be one of the greatest men to ever walk this planet. I said, "Well, Pastor, I wasn't even a disciple." Yeah, well, he took somebody who was a killer, a murderer, not just a oops, self-defense murder, but a premeditated, I'm going after innocent people, the church, Christians. I hate Jesus. I hate the church. I hate these people, and I'm going to kill them. That was a guy by the name of Saul. And Jesus could take Saul and turn him into Paul, the greatest evangelist known. The list goes on. Today, it's not about a loaf of bread. It's not about a sticky bag of rice. I've heard of sticky rice before, but I've never heard of a sticky bag of rice. Nasty cans, expired bag spaghetti sauce. That just, or wicks that have gone out. It's not about that. It's about you. It's about you. And it's not about just your neighbor. It's not about the other person in the church that needs this. Oh, Pastor, I'm glad you're preaching this because so-and-so really needs it. You know, Pastor, I'm glad you're preaching that. You know, my spouse, oh, man, they need it. I'm glad you're preaching to my spouse. No, I'm preaching to you. You'll never outrun the grace of God. In my life, it was a church service just like this, where God reached down into me and pulled out years of hurt. I know more than I did as a teenager. I've joked in here, I had some bad tendencies as a teenager. I did some bad things. The 80s were pretty wild. And I was the top end of the wild. The sheriffs and I were on a regular speaking relationship. I borrowed some cars. I decorated some cars. Decorated some buildings. Not like the silos in Greencastle either. I didn't realize. I know it now. I didn't know it then. That a lot of that stemmed from the anger I had of being rejected, you know, by somebody who was supposed to love me. And it was in a church service like this, God reached down into me and pulled all that hurt out. Oh, how sweet it is. I want to give you a quote from Ann Graham Lotz about Jesus. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is enough and his grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He is indestructible. He is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is inescapable. He is invincible. He is irresistible. He was irrefutable. I can't get him out of my mind, and I can't get him out of my head. I can't outlive him. I can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. but they found they couldn't stop him. Satan tried to tempt him, but he found he couldn't trip him. Pilate examined him on trial, but found no fault in him. The Romans crucified him, but could not take his life. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. He is the God of the first chance, the second chance, and the third chance. He's the God of the fat chance, the slim chance, and no chance. He's the God of the other side of the tracks and the right side of the tracks. He's the God of the rich, the poor, and the middle. He's the God of the red and yellow, black and white. He's the God of males and females. He's the God of the young, the God of the old. He's married to the backslider. He's a kinsman redeemer. He's a blind man healer and a wet water walker. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's in this place today, and he is reaching out his hand to you and saying, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest for your soul. Today, as I close, sometimes I mentioned this earlier, we feel like, oh, that's such a great message. It really resonates well with me, but I don't really want to do, I mean, that's good. Mentally ascent, one of the longest distances in the world, is what we know we should do and what we actually do. I want to talk to you. Remember when I told the story about the horse? And the wound had closed over, but there was still junk on the inside, and we had to reopen it. Do you think that horse liked it when I reopened that wound? You think maybe I've been kicked in the head a time or two, and that explains a lot? People sometimes, oh, Pastor, I just love horses. I'm glad you do. It's not for me. I've been kicked, drugged, head-butted, you name it. Not fun for me. But, you know, sometimes we've been living, and the wound is closed, but there's still some infection underneath. And today, I'm trying, it might hurt a little bit, but to rip it back open. And then take that salve of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when I took that salve, it wasn't just barely a little bit. No, you put a whole glop of it in your hand, just slap it on. Well, I just want to let the Holy Ghost open you up today and take the salve of the anointing and just glop it on. And let that healing occur that needs to occur. Would you stand to your feet right now? Because I have my praise team. I see you guys getting ready. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you came today. I want to pray as we go. They sang this song just a minute ago, or a little bit ago, called Moving Forward. And we're going to sing it here in a minute. I'm going to pray for you first. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have my prayer partners come down here in a minute. There is a power in having somebody pray for you in a service like this. If you're in the balcony, say, man, that really touched me. Make your way down and get down here and get prayed for. We're going to lay hands on you. They're going to take your hand and pray with you. And we're going to see God do in you in moments what may have taken years or never. Maybe you had harsh words spoken to you by your mother. Maybe you never knew your father. Maybe you're fifth generation alcoholic, 10th generation poverty. Maybe you hate the way you look in the mirror and you hate yourself. Maybe you're going through depression. Maybe you've been divorced and feel like you feel like you're good, but you feel like there's a stigma. There is no stigma in the kingdom. I don't know what to admit. You know, I've heard people introduce, oh, pastor, I just do this for a living. There is no just. Maybe you view yourself as just average. There's nothing average about you. My kids are gone. I'll say this. There were millions. I'll just be blatant and honest with you. There were millions of sperm competing to become you. You're the one that made it. You are the one that made it. Your whole life started. Even your conception, the DNA of overcomer was put in you. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing this song together, and we're going to be dismissed. Father, these are overcomers. Lord, I pray for every person here right now who feels like damaged merchandise, who feels beat up, who feels afflicted or abandoned or rejected, who feels second class, who feels like there's a stigma on them. Lord, I want to pray for the saints. Lord, I want to pray for those, first of all, who think they have it all together today. Lord, if they do, praise God for that. Praise you for that. Lord, for those of us that may say, hey, we don't have any of that. We're not damaged goods. Help us to have compassion and mercy and not be judgmental and not ever look down on anybody. Help us to never look to judge somebody. And help us to try to understand why they are, how they are. And help us to love them with the love of Jesus. For those that are, Lord, they're today, they're saying, I'm beat up. I'm hurt. I'm damaged. In the name of Jesus, I say to them, grace, grace, and mercy. I say to them, healing. By the name of Jesus, I say to them, the power of the Holy Ghost, that salve, come upon that wound and heal it from the inside out. I declare that today they will never, 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 never be the same again in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of depression. I come against the spirit of suicide. I come against the spirit of dissatisfaction with oneself. I come against that pride of thinking too highly of ourselves that we would put ourselves down. I come against every stigma. I come against every foul word that's ever been spoken over any one of these people. I cancel every negative word in the name of Jesus. I cancel every negative word spoken by a parent over them. I cancel every word by a teacher like was spoken to me that I'll never be anything. I cancel those words. I cancel those assignments over them in the name of Jesus Christ. I cancel the stigma of divorce. I declare to every person who's been raped or molested, I declare healing come in the name of Jesus. I declare to every mark, they're marked deeply down, their spirit is broken. I declare Jesus will not break a bruised reed. I declare to every person that is dry and they're smoking and they're hurting, I declare the oil of the Holy Ghost to come upon them and relight their wick, to relight them from the inside and heal them completely through and through. I pray for every person feeling like a failure as a parent. I pray over every marriage. Negative words that have been spoken to each other, canceled in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless these people. I ask you to do what only you can, to heal, to protect, to rescue, to save, to be made to be whole. And this morning we exchange our burdens for yours. In Jesus' mighty name. Now at the end of the service, I don't know, did they pass these out in the beginning of the service? No. Here's what we got. I got a gift for you today. As you leave today, they're going to be passing out candles. Fall scented candles at that. When you go, put this out. Burn it this week or next. Just be reminded, he'll never, never, never abandon you. If your wick runs out of oil, he'll never, 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 ever give up on you. So, thus our gift to you as you go. We're going to sing this song. If you need prayer, you can come. Do me a favor. Let's sing a couple lines through together, and then we'll have a dismissal. Dismiss you, but if you need prayer, come. But before you leave, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. We opened up a real, real tough message. There are people in here right now, and man, it was what you needed. I'm going to ask you, don't leave without getting prayed for today. But before, I want everybody today, turn to somebody, and don't just give them a handshake. Give them a holy hug in Jesus' name. Give them a holy hug and tell them that Jesus loves them. Or you can stand there and look. We go. Everybody gets a hug. Everybody gets a hug. If you're watching online, take one hand like this, one hand like this. That's your hug from Pastor Matt. And if you've never been hugged by Pastor Matt, you've never been hugged before. So that's your hug today. God bless you. We're dismissed. We have a meeting in the cafe for anybody for the Christmas outreach. And I'll see anybody who wants to meet me down in the old sanctuary.
Hi there, I'm Pastor Matt. I just want to take this moment and say thank you so much for tuning in to the ministry of Soul Harvest Church Online. And it's a privilege to minister to you each and every time. And I just want to invite you to be a living and active part of our vision to touch the world from West Central Indiana. And if you've been blessed by our ministry, I would ask you to very strongly consider sowing into our ministry to provide that our ministry would continue to go deeper and wider to impact people just like you all around this world that cost the precious blood of Jesus. So I would appreciate a gift of any amount. And I would ask if you're on YouTube, click the link below. If you're online on our website, click Give Online. Or if you're on our app, hit the Give Online tab. And it'll take you through a couple easy steps and you'd be able to sow. And we just pray God's richest blessing on you today. Thank you. God is good. His word is true. And it works in your life, friend.